Okay, I have a topic for today. Finally, because we didn't really have one before that. We were sort of just like rambling. But I actually have a topic, and this is something I'm starting to feel increasingly strongly about. And that's the topic of beauty and like the value and the importance of beauty, right? Okay, let me explain what I mean by that. So obviously there's different things in life. I guess that's kind of obvious. But you know, sort of like many things in life are part of life or are part of society for some other reason, right? There's like some practical reason, right? For example, like we have a dishwasher, not for the sake of having a dishwasher, but we have it to wash the bloody dishes, right? I don't know. We go to work, hopefully also because we actually enjoy it, but we also go to work because it's a ne necessity for most of us, at least, to make money, right? And to pay the bills with that. So many things are sort of interconnected and part of this change, part of this chain of practical reasons, or just like this chain of reasons in general, right? You do one thing not for the thing itself, or not 100% for the thing itself, but you do it for some other reason as well, right? To get something else or to achieve something else or whatever. And now I think this is sort of where my definition of beauty comes from. Beauty is sort of, I mean, I guess there's different definitions, we can definitely talk about it, but beauty sort of arises at the end of this chain, in my opinion, where you get to something which is done or perceived or whatever just for the sake of itself. There's no other reason, right? So like a typical example, for example, and I mean, I guess you could argue about whether that's actually true, but if you take a painting, for example, it's a nice painting, or it's just something pretty, like it could be a sculpture, it could also be a movie, for example, right? Although that might have other, you know, reasons in the background, but it's just a thing you do or you look at for no other reason, right? You don't do it to achieve anything else. At least not directly. You do it, or you just engage with it for the sake of engaging it. And I think I know that's sort of a very rough definition and not the cleanest definition. I'm sure there's some other definition. Maybe I should have looked that up before we hopped on the call. But this is sort of my definition of beauty. And I think beauty is, in that sense, sort of like the purest thing you can get on earth. Pure in the sense that, again, it's not connected, it's not dependent on anything else. It's just like beautiful, and that's what justifies its existence. There's no other reason, no other connection. And so, yeah, from that perspective, I think like beauty is like a very pure thing. Okay, so much about the definition. Maybe you can give me like your current perception of beauty and how you might think about this, or how that plays into your life. Go for it.
Okay. And I haven't actually ever thought about this, I think. I do like these topics, like in general. This is like kind of like really philosophical. But I've never actually thought about beauty specifically. And I don't know, I think your definition was like for me was quite accurate. But I don't know. I feel like so when you take the example of a painting, you look at it just for the sake of being beautiful. But is that really true? Do you maybe look at it to seem more interesting? Do you, I don't know, I've never actually, I don't know if I can think of an example of myself looking at something and just for the sake of it being purely beautiful. And yeah, that's just like makes me wonder. Is that really true? Is that what we want to think? I don't know. I don't know. I want you to further develop your thoughts. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, first of all, I totally agree, of course, and that's what I was so sort of like hinting at. Of course, you can question or argue that even a painting, for example, doesn't just exist for, you know, sitting there and being beautiful, but it exists to nurture some other reason again, which could, for example, be, I don't know, showing the the person looking at the image some kind of new side of themselves or something, or, you know, display some other thing for the purpose of teaching about history or whatever, right? So of course you could argue that in reality there's no such thing that is at the end of some kind of reasoning chain, because there is no reasoning chain that's finite. All of them are infinite, and there's sort of always like another reason you can find. Okay, I can get along with that. But still, I think if we sort of abstract a little, I think it's still possible to identify certain things in life which seem to be more so, well, where the reason of existence is more so the thing itself than something else, right? And I think, like a painting, for example, a good piece of music, for example, like could just be like a song. It doesn't have to be like a classical piece of music. It could just be like a song you enjoy listening to. It could be like a movie you enjoy watching. It could be, again, just like looking out into nature, right? I mean, we don't always have to stay inside the house, even though that's pretty common these days, right? But just like standing outside, looking at the horizon and enjoying like the sunset or something. Of course, you have some other reason associated with that. You enjoy, you know, you do that because you get like the joy from it, or you do it because you want to get some vitamin C, you know, looking into the sun. I don't know, right? You can find other reasons. But these things still, you mostly do them just because you enjoy doing them, and they don't necessarily feed all that many other purposes.
Yeah.
And for me, actually, yeah, I mean, we talked about this. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, like, it's not purely practical, but it's more, yeah, the thing itself. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this before. I even wrote a blog post about this. It's called The Map of Life. And it's essentially my way of sort of picturing the entirety of my life. And I pictured like a map, like in a video game, right? And there's different areas of my life which sort of take up different parts of this map of life. And for me, one of my four central, I only have four like very abstract or like very big sort of overarching areas of life. And beauty is actually one of them. It's, of course, the most abstract of all of them, right? But it's a component of my life that I want to actually nurture and want to take seriously, right? And for me, again, like the things and the actions and activities that are associated with that are sort of, you know, listening to good music, enjoying a good story, whether that's in the form of a movie, whether that's in the form of a series, whether that's in the form of a fiction book or something, right? But that's also just like going outside, enjoying the sunset, enjoying art in whatever form it may come, right? So, yeah. And I think, so, okay, let me explain the background where this comes from for me. So, again, I'm going to make myself unpopular with some people, but who cares? So I read the Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life, like a couple of years ago. I think I read it at the end of 10th grade. So that's like three, four years ago. And the book, I'm not going to go through the entire book, there's no point in that, but there's different rules. And one of them, I don't know the exact phrasing, but one of them was specifically about beauty and how beauty is sort of like a portal to something else. I don't quite recall what exactly he meant, but in general, at that point in my life, this was like the most abstract rule of the entire book and the one that I didn't get at all. I just didn't see the purpose, again, of beauty, right? I just didn't understand, you know, why I would be interested in that. What does it give me? What do I get? Do I get cold hard cash in my bank account? I mean, maybe if I start, you know, trading art pieces or something, or if I start trading NFTs or something, right? But where's the purpose? Where's the direct benefit? And as I've grown a little older, and I'm not trying to, you know, pretend I'm like this Gandalf with like white hair and like a wizard. I don't know what it's called. Yeah, but I do think it's such a like unique thing. Like beauty is so absurd. It's almost like, I don't know, it almost seems, yeah, unreal that there are things in this world which are just like, I mean, where does beauty come from? And why is it that we look at certain things or see certain things or hear certain things and have this, like, the whole concept of beauty is just like magical and mysterious. And I think it's a like very unique experience for us as humans. And I do want to have that be a part of my life that I actually take seriously. Yeah. I mean, again, this is just like sort of, you know, rambling about this topic. But that's sort of my current position on this, I think.
Yeah. I do agree that there's like an importance to it, especially because our world is like purely, well, not purely, but it's very practical. And we're always focused on our goals, our what we have to do, what we want to do. But I think focusing on that part lets you kind of abstract and give you more actual, more meaning to it, because I feel like meaning is more like comes from within, like it's a lot inner focused than external. Obviously it's what you give it, and it does sound, yeah, it does sound maybe more meaningful and more like it could give more purpose to what you are actually doing, is like accompanying everything. So I don't know, because you read a book and you read it for one purpose, but then if you choose to read something just because it's beautiful, it's like, well, I'm enjoying what life actually has, as in a sense that makes you feel good. I don't know, I understand what you're saying, and I'm kind of realizing that I do kind of focus on that as well. But not really. So for me, I have kind of my life planned. And then there's like these years where I think I wouldn't have many things to actually do, like earn money, because I would have already done that and stuff like that, where I know I want to focus on reading philosophy books and learning new things that life has, but in the sense of just purely for enjoying it and not for a purpose. So I guess for beauty and enjoying the beauty that life has, and for me that gives life like more meaning. So yeah, I didn't really realize that it is beauty in itself, but yeah, it is really nice. It's really beautiful way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good. I think also like what you just said, I think also, well, when we think of the word beauty, I think it sounds like to most of us very abstract, right? And it sounds like this thing which is sort of at the at the top of the pyramid, right? The last thing you would think about, right? You know, there's like Maslow's pyramid of needs. Yeah. I think that's what it's called. And then you know, it seems like beauty would be this thing that if you have everything else, right, if you're fully stable, if everything is fine, then you can lay back and like just stare at a piece of art like all day long and, you know, live your bougie lifestyle and just enjoy that, or like pay millions of euros for that. But I think that's like a bit of a misconception, because maybe it's also, you know, by the examples that I gave earlier was sort of like misleading, because I also like pointed at art and music, which are like these typical things that you would associate with the word beauty. But I think also there's just like, I mean, what you just said, right? You can like actively, you can do the same thing and you can see beauty in it, or you can decide not to see beauty in it. Or basically the other way around, right? You can do something and just like do the thing and just see it as part of like a chain of reasons again, right? Or you could do something and try to see some beauty in it, right? Like also seeing beauty in a process. Also like what you said about, you know, you sort of have your life planned out. You know, even seeing the beauty in like the process of building your own life and seeing like how pieces start fitting together over time, right? And maybe you have some achievements along the way and you start, okay, finally, you know, I started like trying to journal like years ago and now finally it's starting to click and it's starting to fit into this bigger thing. And isn't that like beautiful that sort of like things come together and form something that just works, right? I'm also thinking now, which obviously like is my thing, but I know it's also your thing, right? Seeing like beauty in systems, for example. I mean, it sounds kind of absurd, and I guess like most people wouldn't think about certain systems as like beautiful. But if you look at, I mean, you could look at your phone, you could look even at the sewer system, right? I mean, the sewer system is probably like a good example, right? Most people do not associate beauty with that at all, right? But if you look at the bigger system, if you abstract it, isn't it like beautiful how the system takes care of this like fundamental like problem of society, or this fundamental, you know, just like part of society, and how it handles it like beautifully, if it's like a well-maintained system, right? If it's in place, and if there's like a protocol to keep it maintained, like you can see beauty in those things too. And I think it's really good that you added the word meaning, because yeah, again, it's sort of right. I mean, you could think about, you know, living your life and doing all of these things to achieve some kind of other purposes, you know, pursuing a good career so you make a lot of money, so you can buy a house, so you can buy that Porsche, right? So you can, you know, live that good life. But then the question is, you know, at which point do you get to the part where you enjoy things? And in what way does that joy actually manifest itself? And I think, like, just like focusing on the beauty of things throughout the entire process of your life, is like a way to just give you that joy all along the ride, and not to wait for some final reason to come up in this chain of reason. Which, as we figured out earlier, like even when you look at a piece of art, like you can probably like continue like the chain of reasons, and it's probably an infinite chain of reasons. So, you know, just seeing the beauty in the process itself, I guess we're coming back to Ali Abdaal, you just get like all of the benefits, right? Yeah. Straight away.
Yeah, that is true. And it kind of reminds me directly on the blog post I wrote about romanticizing life. Because I do feel like that's kind of the main, like, core of it is seeing the beauty in the things you do and the processes that will, that kind of, yeah, helps you with the things that you're doing, but also helps you appreciate and find joy in, yeah, in life in general, and not just a objective reasons approach. And it, yeah, it's just a better, for me, I think it's a nicer way of living life, and it's just not that hard to do, I guess, once you, if you focus on that, on, yeah, I don't know, like, it's really clicking, and like you're putting to words some thoughts that I sometimes have. Yeah,
and I think like probably like more people experience like beauty in their lives than they acknowledge like themselves, because they just don't use the terminology, and obviously that's fine, right? But just like, you know, like enjoying a cup of coffee like on a sunny day, like outside at a cafe, like I would characterize that as falling under this whole concept of beauty that we just sort of outlined just now. And so I think it is part of life. And I think, you know, you really have to ask yourself the question, if you do not consider beauty a part of your life, then doesn't your world suddenly become extremely cold and like cold-hearted? Because everything is just, okay, problem, solution, problem, solution, problem, solution, right? Which again is just like this mechanical chain of reasons, right? I want to, you know, buy a house. That's a problem. My solution is get good grades at school. Then I need to get into a good university. Well, I mean, that's sort of like, yeah, you need a lot of money. How do you get a lot of money? You have a good career. How do you get a good career? Solution, and so on and so forth. It's just like problems and solutions, but there's nothing else to it, right? I think that's sort of, I mean, now we're getting into like the whole thing of like consciousness. At what point does that start to emerge? But I think it's basically, if you take that approach that there's no beauty in your life, and it's just, you know, you have some problem, you try to find a solution, and you keep going solving problems, then it's really mechanical. It's like a computer, right? Like it's like zeros and ones, and it just like does its thing, but it's like this logical thing, and there's like nothing else to it, right? It sort of like loses its human aspect. Yeah, there's this one, again, it's not a word by word quote, but there's this one quote, which I'm going to paraphrase, by Elon Musk, and him basically saying, well, life can't just be about solving problems, right? There must be something else. Otherwise, like, what's the point? And obviously, like, he's a perfect example of someone who's just solving problems all day long. But even he, like, sees, and I'm not trying to say, okay, just because Elon Musk says this, you've got to believe it, right? I'm just saying this as, like, an addition to our conversation, right? Like, even he sees the need for something else, right? And I think, again, I think we very broadly characterized beauty to sort of, like, encompass, like, a lot of these different things, ranging from, like, joy to also, like, the feeling of awe, for example. That's something I heard about in a podcast some time ago, that the feeling of awe, sort of just, like, being amazed by seeing something, could be, like, looking at the night sky, like, on a clear night. Like, that feeling is supposed to be really good for you, apparently, from a health perspective or whatever. Yeah, but that's also something that I would put into my category of my definition of beauty, right? And it's just this thing that actually makes everything else worthwhile, right? Once you start to acknowledge beauty in things, whatever the things may be, right? Whatever the practical things may be, even in your life, once you start acknowledge that as a part of your life, you add to all of this, like, problem and solution situation, you add something that's valuable to you as a human and not just valuable to a, like, cold problem and, like, a cold solution, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, okay. I have nothing to add.
Yeah.
I like listening to you talk about it.
Okay.
Sorry, this is,
that's good. I mean, that's like the whole purpose of you're like listening to the podcast while it's being recorded live.
yes, exactly. No, yeah. But yeah, I think that, like, you've thought about this quite a lot, so you have a lot to say. Yeah.
So let's go and buy that painting, Irene.
No, I have no money. No, I'm joking. So is it okay? So I know the whole purpose of this is not to be practical about things, but in a practical sense, how would you go about, like, prioritizing and, like, consciously thinking about the beauty in your life? How do you do that?
That's a good question. I mean, now we're getting, I think it's always really important. I think that's a good question because, you know, sometimes you talk about things, but then, well, there's no explanation or no instruction on how to actually apply this to life, which, of course, like, we all live our practical lives, so we should know how to apply the things we talk about, right? Which I think we've been trying to do a good, I know I'm sort of going on a tangent, but I think we've been trying to do, like, a decent job at that with our blog posts, right? I think we very often had this one header at the bottom of the blog post, which is, how do you apply this? Okay. Well, how do you apply beauty to your life, or how do you incorporate it into your life? I think the first step would just be, like, trying to identify the beauty that already exists in your life. And again, beauty is not, the way we defined it, it's not some kind of physical object, right? It can manifest itself in a physical object in the sense that there might be like a painting, or again, like a piece of music, which is not really physical, but it could manifest itself in something physical, but it can also just manifest itself in, like, a much more abstract sense, right? In the sense of, like, a feeling or something that you can experience if you want to, in some kind of process or some kind of thing you do, right? So I think the first step, and I know this is not super concrete, would just be to try see, like, where you can already find beauty in your life. And that could just be, like, on your way to your car or to the bus station or to the train station in the morning, can you see, like, a rising sun on the horizon? I mean, depends on what time you wake up, of course, right? But can you see, like, a rising sun that you can just, like, look at and, like, be in awe of and just, like, enjoy and consider beautiful, right? I don't know, can you look at the night sky and see, like, stars and just be amazed by that and appreciate the beauty of that? Can you intentionally watch a movie and enjoy and just, like, be amazed by the beauty of the story that someone constructed, right? The beauty of, like, the characters and their, like, flaws, but also their strengths and how they interact with each other. Can you see the beauty in the conversations you hold with the people you spend time with? And just, like, for example, just, like, the beauty of, like, language itself, right? The fact that we can communicate with this system of, like, words. I know I'm starting to sound like a real, like, art nerd or something, But seriously, like, I mean, you don't have to just be amazed by everything all day long, right? Because, you know, by the way I'm explaining this, you could basically look at anything and be like, oh my God, a light bulb, isn't that amazing? Oh my God, feet, aren't those crazy? Aren't those... yeah, so, again, like, you don't have to overdo it, right? But I think it's not so much about adding beauty to your life. It's just about allowing yourself to see it, the beauty that's already there, right? Yeah. So I think this is like the closest I can come to like some practical instructions. And I mean, if you wanted to be serious about this, like you could write these things down. I think combining, you know, this practice with some kind of journaling habit where you actually try to write down, okay, I woke up this morning and I saw the rising sun and it was just amazing, right? What I even do sometimes, I know this might make me sound or look quite a bit weird, but like sometimes, so I have like, I'm on the 13th floor, so I'm pretty high up in my building, and the sun rises on the front, which is in front of me, or the side, which is in front of me. So if I wake up at the right time, I get to enjoy like an amazing like sunrise every day, basically. And like sometimes if I get that and it's just like this like very yellow light of the rising sun, you know, hitting me in the morning, I sometimes just like, I know this sounds a bit weird, but I sometimes just record myself and explain how this makes me happy or how I find this like amazing or beautiful or something. So it's just like about capturing this in some kind of sense that I think would help someone to be able to identify beauty more often in their lives by like writing it down, by taking a picture of it, by recording a video and explaining your feelings. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah. That's what I would tell them as well, like, as an album.
Yeah.
That's a good push to it. But yeah. I'm sorry, I just have nothing to add. It's just, I think you explained it really well, and it was a topic. Yeah, I wanted to hear you talk about it, so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like really, like, I was really happy when I discovered this, you know, when I added this to my list of areas of life, for like my map of life. I was really happy because I felt like that was like one of the missing pieces, because it just makes the whole thing like round, essentially. Yeah, because I have different areas. I can like briefly go through them. It's just very basic. I'm not going to go into the details, but I have one area of life, which is work, where everything like work related falls under. There's one which is, you know, relationships and like the entire social sphere, and then there's one health, which is just, you know, the sustaining of my own body and my existence and my mind and all that kind of stuff. And then like beauty sort of like just like rounds it up, and it makes it a human life, so to speak.
Because
it adds that human note, right? And everything else, like without that, it would just be fairly cold, right? I work to make money to, you know, build my company to, I don't know, add value to the economy or something, to the stock market, whatever it may be, right? Obviously, that's totally fine. You have to do these things. We live in a real practical world, right? But once I start adding beauty to that, then all of this makes sense, right? It's not just, you know, this process that I'm following through like a robot. It's something that actually means something to me. Yeah. Which is why nowadays, I mean, I do this exercise with friends sometimes, like telling them to try to figure out their like areas of life. And nowadays I'm so stuck on mine, right? I think they're just like the best solution. So, yeah. No, yeah. But
also, non-related, do you have like a physical map of your life, or is it just like
constant? No, I don't. I do have like an obsidian version of it. So we've done a podcast episode about obsidian, whoever's interested, but it's like a canvas, right? So,
I do feel like I want to one day. Well, in close future, I would want to have like this huge piece of paper, you know, like rolled out on the floor, and like first mapping it out on pencil on a small piece of paper, and then having that big like actual like map of my life and just sticking it like into the wall and seeing it every day. I'd love to like have that physical thing, because of course in Obsidian you could see it every day, but I don't know, I just love to have that, and it'd be like such a fun project and so clarifying as well.
Yeah, and isn't that like an example of something that you would do just for the purpose of like the beauty of it, right?
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it's a perfect example. And in this case, like the beauty of it would be like having some kind of visualized form of the beauty of your life, right? Which I think to me is like the most amazing beauty, when you identify beauty, like when you identify your life as being beautiful. Of course, it's easier said than done, especially because if you're being realistic and if you take on like a realistic perspective, you see that your life has like a ton of like sharp edges and probably a ton of imperfections, right? And so if you visualize it, and if you were to visualize it realistically, you would also have to also add like a lot of ugly elements, right? But if you can still look at the whole thing and see like the beauty of its entirety, then I think that's a very rewarding and like meaningful experience.
Yeah, and also I feel like the actual thing of being able to look at your life and like a piece of paper, for example, isn't that so amazing that you can like bring it down to looking? Yeah, like you're obviously your life is. It's finite or finite. Yeah, like the opposite of infinite. I don't know how you say it. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, finite, yeah.
Finite, yeah. So obviously you could always picture it. But it's finite, but it's still long, and it's hours, second, like millions of seconds. Well, I don't know how many seconds. But
yeah.
A lot of seconds.
It's a lot of millions of seconds.
Yeah.
So much to say about the maths exam.
So yeah, it's just crazy to, because you think of life and you think of time, you think of like, yeah, you think, I think of time when I think of my life, but then you see a piece of paper and you don't think of time, you think of something tangible that you can touch, and you can't touch your life. But I don't know, for me that's beautiful, and that's being able to, yeah, to see that, because I don't think everyone can see, like if you tell them, can you imagine, can you picture kind of a framework of your life in a kind of map, it doesn't it's obviously not real, or it doesn't have to be, because obviously life changes and you can't picture the future. But for me, I have this like a mental model of my life, and it has like branches. And yeah, it's just, I think, yeah, not everyone does that. And I do think it's something amazing to see. I don't know. To boil it down.
I mean,
so
again.
Small.
Yeah, I mean, again, of course, like, I totally agree. I mean, it's like the whole thing, like, the two of us have been preaching, like basically throughout all of our blog posts, like, visualize this, like, conceptualize it. Maybe that's also just, like, the way we think. But yeah, I think it's so rewarding when you like look at your life in some kind of visual form, because you see it's a thing that's, because life is so bloody abstract, right? You have like physical aspects of it, there's non-physical aspects of it. It's just a bloody mess. And if you don't try to get some kind of overview, right, then you're just like not going to be able to understand how the details, like the practical tiny bits, like each of these seconds, how they play into anything else, right? But once you do visualize that, you can understand, okay, these last, let's say, 600 seconds that I just spent, which, yeah, should be like 10 minutes, right? Yes. So these last 10 minutes that I just spent on something, you know, they are like a very specific and like very small, very specific part of my life, right? Because they took part in my lifetime. I did the thing, so it's part of my life. But now I know where these 10 minutes fit into the greater picture, because I know, for example, I studied in those 10 minutes, so it fits into my work area of life, and it fits into my education part of that, right, which will enable me to later build this like career part of my work part of life. So you understand how these things play in, and it almost becomes to some extent like a video game, if you want it to be a video game, right? Where you just have this map, your goal is to expand it, and your goal is to just like, you know, go on these quests and, you know, succeed in them, which will enable you to expand your map further and to build it and to, you know, put things in it, to plant little houses in your map of life, to like start your villages, whatever you want. I guess this is just because like a friend of mine like showed me like this video game yesterday. I have never really played video games. I think that's like a beauty that I've missed in my life, because I know like a lot of people are so passionate about video games. I've never, you know, been able to enjoy that. But yeah, I mean, again, whatever. But I think it's just amazing, and I think it's so cool that at least the two of us on this planet have this amazement for visualizing your life and seeing it and building it. So yeah, homework for everyone: take a piece of paper, take a pen, put a timer on, I don't know, 60 minutes. If you can't do 60 minutes, do 30 minutes. Sit down and just try to identify what are the components of your life. Start simple, just brainstorm, then you can take a separate like sheet and you can do like a pretty version of it afterwards. You don't have to actually draw a map with like mountains and stuff. No, just like abstractly try to figure out like the areas of your life. And you can first try to just brainstorm random components. Well, okay, I have like my relationships. I have a job here. I have, I don't know, I'm a student. I have this project. I work out sometimes. I have a ton of stuff in my garage that's like physical objects. How can I take all of these random components of my life that I brainstormed? How can I group them into reasonable areas? And how can I then like name these broader categories or areas? And how can I come up with like a list of, I don't know, like up to 10, I think that's like more than enough, like big areas of my life that encompass everything. Like there should be nothing else outside of these areas. Right, these areas should encompass everything that makes up your life. And then once you have that, then it's just like you can still go into the detail of those categories. You can add things as you go along, but you just have this basis or this foundation. You can start building on top of that. We should do like an online course or something.
Yes, you can design all the cool things.
Is your mic falling? Okay. Technical issues again.
Again. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Yeah, I think that would actually be interesting. Have you ever thought about, I mean, for your career, right? We talked about your sort of interest for the future. Could you also imagining, I mean, this is a very personal question, but could you imagine like just like working with people full time and trying to like, for example, help them figure out their lives, not necessarily as like a licensed psychologist or anything, but just as someone who has thought about these fundamental concepts, who's written blog posts about them. Could you imagine doing that and working together with people, or is that something that doesn't really interest you? Do you just want to be the only person in your environment that is, you know, killing life and like getting all the wins and having all the other people collect their L's?
No, yes, I've thought about it. Not as in like a professional thing to do. Well, yes, but not realistically. Just something I've imagined. But for me, these things, I love sharing them with people. Some people think I'm really weird, but I don't care because I do explain it in a really passionate way. So like at least they laugh, so that's at least they get something from it. But
not sure about what they laugh, like the topic or you, but who cares?
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. Because the thing is, like, I'm so convinced and so confident in it, and I love it so much. I mean, the whole thing. I really don't care what anyone thinks. I just think they're missing out. So, but I do try to share it in general with my parents. I try to share it as well, especially health-related things, but giving it, like, a bigger, like, outlook on it. And, yeah, but I've never thought about, I don't know, I've thought about organizing people's lives. I have thought about that, about, like, doing that. And I've also thought about if I were a manager or something in a company, how could I like help them be their best like in workspace, but obviously that like maybe telling them to implement the power method or stuff like that, which is so random, but I have thought about that, but I don't know. I don't know if that's something that would actually happen to do, but I do know that people close to me, I would like to share it in detail and maybe like inspire them or like help them do something similar with like their life. But yeah, what about you?
I mean this has only been like experimental, but I mean I have actually, so for one of my clients, they asked me if I could like do a coaching with them. So I actually have talked about this like map of life concept and like other topics with like people like in a coaching environment, but I think like from my experience it really depends on the I mean again I don't have like a ton of coaching experience, like not at all. We did like 10 sessions or something, so like a bit, but nothing crazy. But I think it really depends on the personality also. Like some people, and I guess like mostly the people I spend time with, because, you know, I guess I do still surround myself with like mostly people that, you know, I sort of have a connection with because we have sort of like a similar wavelength, right? So like many people around me, like you, for example, like some people I work with or like people I talk to are open to these ideas or like interested to that. But then also like I have interacted with people who don't really see like the point or the purpose, or who just sort of have some kind of resistance. And again, like we're starting to sound like a real cult here, like trying to defend our religion. But yeah, like for some people it's just like a little too abstract, which I don't think it has to be, because I don't think it's all that complicated. I think it's much simpler than religion, right? In the sense that, you know, you just try to figure this out, and any reasonable person, I think, and I guess maybe this makes me sound, you know, very, you know, set on my ways here, but I think any reasonable person, like if they were giving some kind of task to complete, with the goal of completing it well or doing it well, right, or some kind of activity, and the goal was like sincerely try to do well on this, like try to achieve this in the best way you can, then they would implement some level of strategic thinking in trying to maximize their chances of success at doing that thing well, right? And again, this might sound abstract. How does this relate to anything we just talked about? Well, if you look at your entire life as like the activity of your life, and the goal is to try to do this activity well, try to live life well, right? Which is like the biggest, like the only like task you have, like the one job, right? You know, you have these like YouTube videos that's like, you had one job, right? Your one job is to live your life well. And obviously there's a ton of like subtasks and sub activities to that. But like the one job you have is to live your life well. Okay, so that's your task, right? Your activity that you've been given, you know, just like by being alive, by your existence. And if your goal, and I mean, some people might not have that goal, but if your goal, and I think like most people still want that, if you have the goal to live your life well, and you want to maximize the chance of doing that. And the thing is, I mean, you know, people who believe in reincarnation, they might get multiple tries at this game of life. Other people who don't, they only get one try, right? So you can't just randomly, you know, try things. At least, you know, just like statistical, if you play like a game of dices or something once, right, there's just like, I mean, you know, you should try to find the strategy first and then play your game with that kind of strategy in mind to maximize your chances. But again, just to like finish my sentence, because I'm going off of tangents here. If you have your one activity, live life well, and you only have one attempt, right, then you should implement some level of strategic thinking, probably, if you're reasonable and actually sincere about achieving this goal. And this concept of the map of life is just one way of doing this. But I think it's the necessary way because it encompasses everything. I think so often in life we're given strategies, like strategies are everywhere, like read this book on how to become like a good home chef or something, read this book to figure out like your exercising routine, listen to this podcast so you can learn about your relationships, blah, blah, blah. obviously all of that is necessary, but if you can't piece the things together, then you might, you know, go in different directions and different parts, and it just ends up going nowhere, right? You're sort of like pulling on different ends of your own life and pulling in different directions. So it just like, it just gets like squished and like broke. I don't know. So I think if you like really want to do well in your life and do well in the entirety of your life, you have to think about this. And maybe you don't have to visualize it in a map of life, but you have to have some kind of understanding of how you want to go about this. Yeah. Yeah. So religion protected, saved, hopefully. We really need to be careful with this. This is a slippery slope. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah. Go ahead.
No, that, I mean, this is nowhere near religion. Like, it's just how, I mean, it could be because religion can be like your outlook on life and how you find purpose in life, in a sense. But for me, it's just like, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's not a religion. It's just how you think about life, and people don't think about it much, and we do. And it's just cool to say, okay, maybe you could think about it more. And then it's so individual, because we have in common that we think about life in a certain way, like systems and like with a purpose and with a more like clear view on it. But then we have different beliefs for each of, maybe each of those areas, and some of them are like, we think the same, we agree on a lot of things, but then on others we don't. And it's just so personal, but it's just a fact of, like, it's the global thing of doing it. What I'm saying you should do, because it's so beneficial. So it's not preaching a set of beliefs, it's just a way of thinking that may bring you to those beliefs of like what you were explaining, or might not, but just the fact of like doing it is what I would say you should do, which is what I would say. It's definitely not a religion, because I'm not like, yeah, I just I don't really think it's a slippery slope, because like everyone, like, do whatever you do. Like, I like doing this and having this look on my life, and for me it's beneficial. I think it'd be beneficial for everyone, but I honestly don't care.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course, yeah, it's not really a religion by definition. I totally agree. And I think what's like really important to stress about this, like, the framework doesn't give any instructions on what you should value. Yeah. It doesn't give instructions on which specific areas of life you should have. I mean, that's like the whole point. Like, if you're the type of person and you just don't value social interactions, for example, for some reason, I don't know, by genetics or by circumstance or whatever, that's just not a part of your life, or you don't care about it, then take the map of life and make it a really small portion of your life, right? It might only contain like work relationships, or it might contain, I don't know, like family relationships, but you don't want to nurture that area of your life. It's not important to you. The thing is, like, the framework is flexible in the sense it doesn't define or give you, you know, it doesn't tell you what objective you should have in life. I mean, for me personally, my objective is very much focused on meaning nowadays. So that's just my objective. And that's why beauty, for example, is a portion of the map of my life, which I try to nurture, because I think beauty is a way for me to achieve, you know, meaning in my life. But some other people might have different objectives in their lives, right? Again, an extreme example could be the goal is just to, you know, try to accumulate the highest amount of wealth, for example, like economic wealth, right? They don't care about their own lives. They just want to build like a ton of wealth so their families can live off of that wealth for the future or whatever. I don't know. But there could be different objectives. And again, you can like structure your map of life whatever way you want. For me, for example, this is like one area of life which I don't have in my life, but which other people, or like a lot of other people will probably have, would be religion, for example. I don't have like religion as being like another like area of my life. For me, like, my sense of religion is encompassed in that, you know, area of life that I call beauty, right? But some other people might have different areas. Some people might have more areas. Some people might split them up differently. Who cares? I don't care, right? Exactly. But if you, again, like want to like improve your entire life and do the best job at living your entire life, right? Then think about which parts does it have? Which of them do you care about? Which of them do you want to improve? What is your objective? How do you get there? So, yeah.
Yeah.
We have it all figured out, Irene.
Yeah, I do get that sense from our calls, but it's like so, like, not true.
And then afterwards we sit in the maths exam and we're like, damn, we have figured out nothing.
Damn, I'm so stupid.
Yeah.
Joking. No, we're not. We're not. We're very smart.
Don't push it. No, yeah. But again, I mean, this just maybe like as a last addition to this. I mean, again, like, of course, like we don't know about a lot of things, right? It's not as if, you know, you adopt this framework and then suddenly like you're this wise man and you have all of the knowledge of life. It's not some kind of like magical like gem you put on your forehead and then you're like like some kind of messiah or something. But once you have that, you sort of have a grip on everything. You also have a grip on like a lot of, you know, unstable stuff and insufficiencies, but you have a grip on all of that, right? And maybe it's not a tight grip, but you have everything in your hands. And then, of course, you still need to work with that stuff in your hands, right? Those, you know, components of your life. You need to improve a lot of them. For us, it's maths primarily that we still need to work on, right? Trying to figure out how to calculate the limit of all of these series and sequences and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but it's, you have it in your hands. You can decide what to focus on, what not to focus on. And it doesn't guarantee success or anything, right? It's not this like get rich quick scheme we're trying to sell. But it's just a way to start managing this thing called life, which is difficult, but
yeah.
Doable if you... Yeah, maybe doable, potentially doable, if you allow yourself to just take a serious and sincere shot at doing your best at it.
Yeah. At least you get a sense that it is. Even if it might not be. What matters is, I guess, how you're feeling, how you're going through it. So if you have a sense that you're controlling it and it works for you, then
yeah. And I mean, some other people, again, like, yeah. I mean, some other people, you know, might, I mean, they can still use the same framework. So I'm thinking about like people who don't like to even play these games of like optimizing or maximizing, you know, outcome, however they define it, right? So I'm thinking of some kind of monk, right? Just again, to give like an extreme example, who might not have the goal of maximizing anything, or they don't like that concept, right? But even they could start off by, you know, saying, okay, this is my life. These are the components I've identified. And then they just have a different objective. They have an objective not to improve like the economic outcome of each of those areas. They don't have the goal to improve happiness in each of those areas. They don't have the goal to improve meaning in each of these areas. They just have the goal to free themselves of the like need to want anything in any of those areas, right? But then that's still an objective, and then they can still ask themselves, okay, how do I go about this? And they might go about this by, you know, implementing meditation techniques and trying to sort of, you know, take away the opacity of these areas of life. Again, I'm thinking about this fully visually. I hope this is clear. Like, you have your map of life. It's like at full opacity. It's like very colorful. And they try to sort of make themselves independent of all of that. So they try to take away the opacity, so it becomes like dimmer and dimmer. And hopefully they get to that point where it's just like a white sheet of paper again, where they're fully independent and they've risen to the level of the gods or whatever, right? But even in that case, you could use the same framework as a starting point. Yeah. Okay, I think we've talked enough about this. People should just buy our book, which isn't available yet, but it's going to be soon, and like, give us 10 years, please. And Ali Abdal will have like a quote in the beginning of the book, you know, praising us for our productive achievements, and then we'll be rich and we'll live the good life, and then you know, the rest of the people can figure out how they do the same. We won't care at that point anymore.
Yeah, sure we will.
I'm never quite sure what kind of impression we give off in these podcasts, whether we're like, you know, people you might be able to like form connection with, or whether we're just like the worst people. Like, you just listen to the podcast because you're like annoyed.
Yeah, I feel like we sound a bit like we have answers, like naive. Yeah, I feel like we sound very naive. Like we think we know and we have no idea. And honestly, like, anyone who thinks that, I know I don't know, like, a lot of things. We just say what we think on things, not saying we know them. We just, what we follow and what we think and what we're trying to build. And, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're just two teens trying to manage the difficult... wait, what was it? And build... foundation.
You're quoting our slogan, right?
Yeah, I love our slogan. It's so fun.
Well, it's actually been updated to two students, because we're not really two teens anymore.
Yeah.
So it's been updated to two students.
I mean, you're not. Wait.
You are. 20.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I'm not a teen anymore.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, one teen and one student trying to figure out life and build a foundation for life.
I'm a student as well. One teen comes student and one student. One old guy comes student.
Whoa, okay, now it's getting personal.
Yeah, I'm joking.
Okay, no, I think, okay, last note. I think we're trying to not be too naive. I think we're like stressing every episode that we don't know everything, that we're not trying to pretend to like be the people with the answers, right? And I think we're trying to differentiate our ideas as best we can, or as well as we can, to try and not make them sound too simple or too like superficial. And I mean, we have thought about these things, and again, we're not saying that this is like the way or anything. It's like this one Star Wars TV show, and that there's like this group of people, and they always have like the way, like it's like their thing. They know the way, apparently, or whatever. Okay, I'm branching off again. I think we covered some interesting ground today. We talked about beauty. We talked about the map of life. We talked about the connection of these two. How, you know, seeing your life in its entirety can be like a really beautiful process, and just like an amazing thing to look at. And yeah, do you have any last final words, any last piece of wisdom you want to share with the world, Irene? You want to say hi to your parents or something?
No.
Okay.
No, thank you. Skip.
All right.
Okay. Quickly.
Well,
there's this show in Spain called Pasa Palabra, which is skip word. So there's like, so you get questions for each letter of the alphabet, and when you know it, for example, A, blah blah blah, and then you have to answer, and the answer starts with A. So for example, people S, they don't know the answer, so they say skip word. So in Spain, when we don't know something or we don't want to say anything, we just say pasa palabra, which is skip word. And like, I just like skip turn.
Wow. So. Okay. Interesting. Some Spanish history. Right. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
We've actually taught our listeners some practical piece of knowledge from the real world, not some kind of abstract idea. So I think we've done our job. I'll see you next Sunday. And yes, have a good week. Yes, good week.